From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Victor Beatty reporting. After decades of estrangement, Cuba opens its embassy in Washington. The Cuban flag was hoisted outside the country's newly established embassy in Washington Monday, ending a decades-long diplomatic rupture caused by the Cuban Revolution, led by Fidel Castro. U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry met with his Cuban counterpart, Bruno Rodriguez, at the State Department.
Nothing is more futile than trying to live in the past. President Obama believes, and so do I, that our citizens benefit far more from policies that aim to shape a better future. There is, after all, nothing to be lost and much to be gained by encouraging travel between our nations, the free flow of information and ideas, the resumption of commerce, and the removal of obstacles that have made it harder for families to visit their loved ones.
Mr. Kerry said the full normalization process will be long and complex. The Cuban foreign minister demanded an end to the U.S. trade embargo and a return to the U.S. military base at Guantanamo Bay. President Obama Monday met at the White House with Nigeria's President Muhammadu Buhari to discuss the threat posed by Boko Haram militants, among other issues, including corruption.
On both these issues, we're looking forward to hearing more about his plans and how the United States can partner with Nigeria so that Nigeria ends up being an anchor not only of prosperity and stability, but can also be an outstanding role model for developing countries around the world.
The four-day trip is Mr. Buhari's first to Washington since taking office in May in a rare peaceful transition of power in Nigeria. This is VOA News. In Nigeria Monday, at least three policemen killed by a suicide car bombing at a checkpoint on the outskirts of Damaturu, capital of Yobe State. The Associated Press reports more than 20 people, including children, were killed by dozens of suspected Boko Haram militants in Kamuna in northern Cameroon. The UN Security Council has voted unanimously to approve the Iran nuclear agreement, expected to clear the way for a lifting of crippling sanctions. The council directed the International Atomic Energy Agency to verify and monitor Iran's compliance. U.S. UN Ambassador Samantha Power said the agreement gives Tehran a chance to prove it intends to pursue a peaceful nuclear program.
This deal gives Iran an opportunity to prove to the world that it intends to pursue a nuclear program solely for peaceful purposes. If Iran seizes that opportunity, if it abides by the commitments that it agreed to in this deal, if it builds upon the mutual respect and diligence that its negotiators demonstrated in Lausanne and Vienna, and if it demonstrates a willingness to respect the international standards upon which our collective security rests, then it will find the international community and the United States willing to provide a path out of isolation and toward greater engagement.
She cautioned the deal does not diminish continuing U.S. concern about Iran, including human rights violations and its support for terrorism, as well as its ballistic missile programs. A suicide bombing in Turkey's southeastern city of Suric Monday killed at least 31 and left dozens more wounded. Turkey suspects it was the work of the Islamic State militants. European Union interior ministers failed Monday to find temporary homes on the continent for tens of thousands of African, Asian, and Middle Eastern asylum seekers in Greece and Italy after perilous journeys across the Mediterranean. Dimitris Avramopoulos is the EU Commissioner for Migration.
It is clear member states must deliver on the promises made at the European Council last month to reach the agreed figure of 40,000 persons proposed by the Commission. I want to be frank with you. I'm disappointed that this did not happen today.
Nearly 140,000 have fled war, persecution, and poverty in the first 6 months of this year. Burundi's opposition has called for a boycott of Tuesday's presidential election, which is going ahead despite months of violent anti-government protests over President Pierre Nkurunziza's quest for a controversial third term. Members of the opposition say the country's political crisis, including widespread intimidation and the threat of violence, does not allow for free, fair, and peaceful elections. Critics demanded Mr. Nkurunziza step aside after serving the two constitutionally allowed terms. The trial of former Chadian dictator Issa Abre got underway in Senegal Monday. The 72-year-old charged with the deaths of thousands of Chadians during his eight-year rule ending in 1990. I'm Victor Beatty, VOA News.
That's the latest world news from VOA.